this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I think we're all regulars here. You know me, my name's Hayley, welcome. This is Bethel Family Church. Thanks, Katie. And I still love you. And you're all very, very welcome. We're pleased to see each and every one of you here. Today, I have no fancy PowerPoint and I have no Bible references going up on the board because I need your listening ears. I know, right? Look at Katie with her good listening ears. My topic today is called Healing Your Hurting Mind and Keeping Jesus at the Centre. When Kerry first asked me to share with you again, I jumped at the opportunity. You know me, never shy and something to say. But this time, I was given a specific topic. Healing your hurting mind and keeping Jesus at the centre. So I had a quick chat to Jesus and away I went. I thought about it. I drafted a message in my brain and then I wrote it out. I was pretty proud of myself until I read it back and realised that I'd actually written more of a sermon on prayer, not one on healing your hurting mind. And even though it was a decent sermon, I'd love to share it with you sometime. It wasn't going to honour Kerry and the topic that she'd given me. When I went back and watched the Craig Groeschel series that we'd been watching here at church, it was confirmed for me that that wasn't the sermon for today. Especially when I watched the last one that I hadn't seen because I was away and he used the exact same passage to preach out of that I'd used. I mean, his was very different from mine, but at that point I knew that I had to start again. So I did what any well-adjusted, Jesus-loving, somewhat mature Christian did. I started to spiral. You know that saying, that pride comes before a fall? The same goes for spiritual pride, only the fall is much harder. You see, I'd enjoyed the series that we watched, but I didn't really understand how a lot of it related to me. I didn't suffer from major panic attacks and I didn't have a problem with fear or anxiety. In the past, sure, but these days I'd prayed every day, went to the weekly prayer meetings, ran a small group for my lovely girls who are here today. So me and Jesus were tight, right? I was doing all the right things. But in reality, I was just so puffed up with spiritual pride, so delusional. So when that spiral came, all it took was one little sermon written for the wrong day. And down I went. I'd missed it. I couldn't hear God properly. I couldn't even write on a set subject, which led to a kind of a panic, and suddenly I wasn't going to have anything to share with you today. And even if I did, it wasn't going to be right. And I was never going to be asked to share again. And I was going to let Kerry and all of you down. And the final twist of that knife, who was I kidding? I was freaking out so hard that I had no business preaching on this topic because I was clearly in the thick of an anxiety attack and I was worrying that I wasn't even good enough and I was a fraud, and then all of a sudden I couldn't even think straight and everything I wrote was ever going to be wrong. And you get it, right? You can see it. You can see what the enemy's doing, how quickly he got in my head and he started creating this massive turmoil. And I'm glad that you can see it, because I couldn't, not yet anyway. And normally at that point, I would have checked out, maybe watched some reels on Facebook, played some Snake Lash, maybe gone to the shops and blown my budget on projects that I couldn't afford and didn't need to be doing at that point in time. Anything to distract myself from the pain and the doubt that I was feeling. Old Hayley would have even gone looking for some substances to numb herself out. But 2.0 Hayley knew that something had to change. I had to do something different. And I still needed a message for you here today. I was a mess, and so I did the only thing that I could think of. I reached out to a friend. How many of you understand that we were wired by God for connection? We weren't designed to go through life alone. Not only do we always have Jesus in our hearts, we have his comforter, the Holy Spirit, in us. But we also have a whole heap of Christian brothers and sisters surrounding us. And believe me when I tell you that just as he can talk directly to you, sometimes when the noise in your brain is so loud that you can't hear him, he can speak to you through a friend. And that's why it's important that you keep godly counsel, that you surround yourself with the right people. I cannot tell you how thankful I am for mine, because I need people in my life to keep me accountable, who can tell me when I'm being a brat or a bit of a princess, and who can carry or even drag me up the mountain that I'm climbing, sometimes kicking and screaming, even if they just see it as simply telling me where to put my feet. The reason that this is so important is because, just like the creepy predator that he is, if the evil one can separate one sheep from the flock, he's more likely to be able to bring it down. You ever hear that expression that there's safety in numbers? This is that. Most times I know how to go vertically to Jesus, but in my crisis and when I was crashing out, I am so thankful that I was able to get horizontally to Jesus through my friend. No matter how bad your mental struggle may get, how deep that spiral goes, or how far you fall off that mountain you were climbing, please don't shut yourself away. Don't isolate yourself. And don't withdraw from the flock. It's cold out there, and that enemy prowls around like that lion waiting to pick us off one by one. And that lion is more of like a Scar lion, not a Mufasa. So think Scar. Dirty, great, big, evil, skinny, scrawny-looking, manky thing. That's the enemy, the lion that prowls around. So while talking with my friend over the last few weeks, it became apparent that my issues were bigger than just writing this sermon. My not-so-well-kept secret was out. I, Hayley Jones, was struggling with a hurting mind and a hurting heart that desperately needed healing. And the cause of that was my lack of understanding of my identity in Christ. I put it to you that the fastest way to fall into those pitfalls of a hurting mind, which leads to that hurting heart, is to not have that clear understanding of just how much Jesus loves you and who you are in him. Knowing our identity and knowing and being in that loving, committed relationship with Jesus is the key to our whole existence. After all, the chief end of man, the reason for our very existence, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Forever. Through my conversations with my friend, it became apparent that I was prone to overworking myself to the point of burnout, because I always felt like I had something to prove. I fixated on details because I couldn't stand the feeling of things being out of place, or worse, out of control. I was a people pleaser because I never believed that I could be accepted just for who I was. And at times, I pushed people away if they hurt me rather than forgiving them as Jesus wants us to. And at worst, at times, I even acted darn right unlovable, because at my core, I felt like I was unable to be loved. That Jesus only barely tolerated me, let alone loved me. And there was no point in letting people close to me, because they were probably just going to end up rejecting and hurting you anyway. When my friend spoke of a love that wasn't based on my performance, it was a completely foreign concept to me, and my first instinct was to reject it. But that is how Jesus loves us. His love isn't based on anything we do. He loves us simply for who we are. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we could never earn it, while we were still sinners, Jesus laid down his life for us on that cross. Ephesians 1, 4-6 tells us that we were adopted into his family as his children. And John 1, chapter 3, verse 1 says that we are named and called and counted as the children of God. And because of that, we never, ever have to walk alone. John 15, 7 tells us that if we live in him and stay united with Jesus, his words will remain and continue to live in us. That living word inside us. And as I wrote this sermon, I realized it's a little bit different from my normal ones. I didn't just want it to be a list of coping strategies or a 12-step program. While they have their places in recovery, this one is more of an invitation to see our hearts and our hurting minds healed and transformed by that deepening of our relationship with Jesus. By us getting that grasp on who we are in Christ. This identity thing has been something that Jesus and I have been working on for a long time now. And I've been blessed to hear my friends speak on this topic several times. And each time I am undone. Slowly but surely, I am learning who God says I am. Not who the world says I am. And not even who I say I am. Who my heavenly Father says I am. I'm learning who he created me to be. Not what this evil world made me be. And that he loves me. And that he says that I am enough. And that he wants me to trust him through this process. I'm on my way to becoming who he wants me to be for the rest of my life, for the things that he has for me to do in the future. Spending time with Jesus and deepening that relationship with him and getting that revelation of my identity in him will help me heal my hurting mind and then my hurting heart along the way. But I don't just want this for me. I want it for each and every one of us. I want us to be so secure in who we are in Jesus, rooted so deeply in his love, with Jesus wound and woven so tightly into each part of our lives, that the world out there could literally start falling apart into pieces and we will just go on filled with his love, with his peace and his calmness, and just go about our Heavenly Father's business, come what may. To weave Jesus into every part of our lives mean that we can't just shove him on the shelf and dust him off on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night prayer meetings. We can't just run to him when we're in crisis or when we hit rock bottom. And nor can we simply praise him only when everything is going well. In John 15, chapter 13, Jesus tells us that no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then in the next two verses, he goes on to call us his friends, man. The price that he paid on the cross, the blood that was spilled, was for his friends. And who are we? Not only are we his children, we are his friends, man. And real friends are there for you through all of life. He wants to be involved in every part of our lives, in the broken bits, in the ugly moments, in the grief-filled, tear-soaked pillow moments, those nights that just go on and on and on, the ones filled with white-hot rage at the injustices of this world. When we remind, when we need reminding that it's not the flesh and blood that we wrestle against. And even those days when we feel so helplessly depressed, so low, that we can't even get out of bed, let alone leave the house. Our Jesus, the Jesus who loves us just for who we are, would simply walk in that room and lay down on that bed beside you. And he'd bring his mate, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, if we would just invite him in. We let our pride stop us from admitting that we aren't doing okay. And we let our shame drive us away from God, when in fact, when we are at our worst, that is when we should be running towards him at full speed, like a child running into the arms of their loving father. When we get honest with Jesus and we tell him the truth about how we are doing, then and only then can he begin to heal us. If it helps, get honest with a trusted friend first. Let them tear off the roof and lower you down into the room to your Saviour. And don't give up. You might have tried it before and it didn't work, but that was then and this is now. I promise you that you have never messed up too badly. You have never done something so horrible, and you've never struggled with so much doubt or unbelief, and you are never too far gone to be beyond God's forgiveness, grace, and mercy. You are never going to be left alone in your grief or your distress. In John 14, chapter 18, Jesus promises that he will not leave us orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. He will come back to us. There is redemption and healing for each and every one of us. If we would only get rid of our preconceived ideas of what our healing should look like and our made-up timeline of when it should happen. If we would just reach out and receive him in his timing, in his fashion, in his way. And the beauty in all of that, we only have to show up. Be completely honest, trust Jesus, and invite him and the Holy Spirit in to do their work. You see, a wise man once reminded me that apart from God, we can do nothing. We literally can't even wake ourselves up in the morning if he doesn't put his breath in our lungs. But he does. He wakes us up and we're invited into him. When we've invited him in, when we've surrendered our will and our plans and our ways over to him, from then on, it's just a million little decisions each day to choose him, to put him first, to walk with him in every moment, in every hard day, in everything that hurts us, to rely on him for everything we need, to love him and to let him love us, all of us, and finally to start listening to Jesus when he tells us who we are and whose we are. You've been adopted into his family, called by your name. You are chosen. You are beloved. His sons and daughters. His friends. This is who we are. None of those labels that the world gives us. We're not any of that. We need to shake that off. We need to recommit to walking out in Jesus with him so close to us that anything that the enemy tries to throw at us just bounces off us. I'm on my way. And if you want to join me, you can come too. You're invited. It's true. It's a hard topic. It really is. But if that's stirred something in your heart today, if that's something that Holy Spirit is stirring in you and you can feel those flutterbys in your belly and you know that there's some business that you need to do with Jesus, then you are absolutely welcome to come forward shortly for prayer. Don't let that shame drive you away. And if perhaps you're not ready to come out the front today, then can I encourage you to reach out to a trusted friend this week? let them tear the roof off and lower you down into Jesus' room, into his presence. Because he cares. He cares so much. And he wants the best for you. And it's time for us to start believing that. That we're not just playing penance for the bad things that we did. That we know and serve and love a God who wants the best for us.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.